I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Final hour of Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. The big one, your biggest story in D.C. sports at 1 o'clock every day today, is actually off the field, or in this case, off the floor, and in the broadcast booth where the Washington Post last night reported that Steve Buckhantz would not be back as the face, the voice of the Washington Wizards. And just saying that feels weird. As someone who has grown up watching Buck, idolizing Buck for 22 years, calling Wizards games now, he joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. So, Steve, first of all, thanks for carving out some time on what has been a crazy day for you, I'm sure. Why don't we start with, I mean, have you heard formally and officially that this is, in fact, what's happening? Is this just a report where this is what they've heard? Where are we at as far as what you've been told?
Well, from my perspective, yes, I heard officially from my boss at NBC Sports Washington last night that they were, in fact, to use his words, going in a different direction. I like to say going in the same direction with a different person, but yeah, that seems to be the phrase when somebody is let go, that they're going in a different direction. So yeah, that is official.
22 yeah. years, Steve, that we've watched you. We've welcomed you into our living rooms. You've come with us as we've gone, you know, all over the place to cookouts and hanging out with friends as we're watching the Wizards. How did this play out in the sense of, take us back to the beginning? I know you had mentioned originally your option was not initially picked up. Were you still hopeful over the last few weeks that it could work out? Did you know that you weren't going to be calling games? Kind of give us the lay of the land here the last few months.
Well, I guess it started in February when my attorney and I went to our folks at NBC Sports Washington to ask if, in fact, you know, what they were going to do, because there was a March 1st deadline for them to either pick up that third year or not. And that's when they told us they weren't. And that's really how the process sort of got started. And then, you know, through it becoming public, that's when people sort of found out. Now, you know, they had said to me at the time that, you know, the door would still be open for a possible return. I think the longer we got into the process, the more that door seemed to be closing on me and eventually, you know, slammed shut. So I think that I don't know if them telling me the door was still open, if that really was ever a fact. I think, you know, the fact that so many guys were interviewed for the job would lend you to believe that I would not be under consideration. Although I thought about going down there and knocking on the door and seeing if I could audition.
Steve Buckhantz, of course, the former voice of Navy football from 1991 to 1997. Several great
years. And Pete, you're doing
there.
A great job with that job. You're doing a great
that.
Job.
I appreciate yep. that, pal. First of all, I hope your mom is well. And I know when we watch these shows, you know, we watch players come in and talk to general managers, and, you know, they'll tell them one reason or another why they're going to move on from the player. Did anybody there ever say to you, hey, here's why we're moving on? Did someone, in their opinion, feel there was a reduction in your skill set as we do to a player? Was that ever transmitted to you in any way? Because that's usually what happens when people make a change, certainly of this significance, because as Grant mentioned, I mean, you've given 22 years of your career to this position.
Yeah, Pete, that's an insightful question, because that no one did ever say that to me. The only thing that was ever said or even hinted at was that perhaps it was that they were looking at this broadcast and the long term of this broadcast, all three of us, me, Kara, and Chris Miller. And the only thing that was hinted to me was that perhaps there might have been a chemistry issue with me and Kara, which I never agreed with. I mean, the first year we were together, obviously, that, you know, you're going through a learning process with someone after I'd been with Phil for 20 years. So that was kind of a learning process between she and I. And then last year, I actually thought our chemistry was pretty good. And then, of course, she went on to be a coach of the Celtics. So that sort of blows that theory out of the water at this point. She's no longer here, and I'm still hanging around. So that was the only thing that was said to me. I mean, you know, look, I don't know if this is an age thing or whatever, but certainly if it is, nobody's going to come out and say that to anyone. And no one said that to me. And no one ever said anything about skill set or anything like that. Now, having said that, you know, I'm not there. And the powers that be, had they wanted me to be there, I would still be there. So somebody probably at this point doesn't like what I do. And that's probably the most hurtful thing of this whole process, because all of my colleagues and my counterparts, whether they be Dave Johnson and Glenn Consor with Wizards Radio, Joe Beninati and Craig Lachlan with the Capitals Hockey, who are, you know, the best announcers there are in all of hockey, and John Walton, who's fantastic. They're all, you know, universally loved, and everybody loves them, and rightly so. And the powers that be, you know, love them, but somebody up there didn't love me enough to keep me. And that's the most, I think in the 22 years I've done this, that's the most hurtful thing.
Steve, we know in part of this too, when it's a network and team has some say in this. Have you heard from anybody
Sports? Team has all say in this. Let's not be mistaken about that. There was a reason that John Miller was fired from the Orioles, the best announcer in all of baseball. He wasn't enough of a homer, and he was let go. Mel Proctor in the same situation, two of the best announcers there are. Marv Albert with the Knicks. I mean, can you be any more synonymous with the Knicks than Marv Albert, a legend, and let go from the team? So, listen, don't kid yourself. Let me ask you a question. If somebody from our company had gone up to Ted and Zach and said, listen, you know, we're thinking about changing the hockey announcers because I'm just not sure about them. You don't think he would have looked them right in the face and said, that's not happening? Well, that didn't happen here, so that's unfortunate, and that's the most hurtful thing. And I have not heard from Ted or Zach at all since this has happened, or since this whole process even began, and that's also hurtful.
Steve Buckantz on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Do you feel like – I want to go back and double-click on something you mentioned. Do you feel like you weren't team-friendly enough as a perception maybe from the team side? I'm not going to call you a homer, but I always – part of what I enjoyed is you didn't have to say the team was playing badly. In your tone, I always like the – and the Wizards trail by 11. Like, you called it down the line. I thought there was some candor, but you were our guy. Everyone knew you wanted the Wizards to win. Did you feel like that maybe you were too hard on them at times in the eyes of some?
Well, that's a really great question, Grant, because and Pete can speak to this as well, because he does this also. You walk a very fine line as a play-by-play guy. We have this discussion all the time, me and my colleagues, Dave and Glenn and those guys. We, you know, and Ernie is a very good friend of mine, and Ernie and I have a great relationship, and I enjoyed all of his 16 years there. But, you know, we would always kid around and say, you know, you can say 99 positive things about the team, but the one negative thing you say, that's what will, you know, resonate with the general manager and perhaps the owners or whoever. So, you got to walk that fine line. Now, having said that, I've always prided myself, whether it be at Channel 5 and reporting on the Redskins for 14 years or whatever, always sort of prided myself in being objective and not being. I mean, look, when you're the broadcaster of a local team, it's okay to be a homer. It's okay to root for the team, as long as you remain objective. That's the key for me. So, you know, listen, I'm going to go crazy when the Wizards win. I mean, I'm the biggest fan there is. But you have to remain objective about the whole thing, so that when there's a whistle blown and there's a call made, you're not going to sit there and say, oh, that's clearly a bad call. If it's clearly the right call, you got to say that. And so I've always sort of prided myself, whether it be reporting on the Skins or whatever it happened to be, or doing the Wizards for the last 22 years, in being objective. Now, sometimes that would come through. But listen, I'm going back to 1967 when I was 12 years old, and my parents used to take me to the Baltimore Civic Center to see Earl Monroe and Gus Johnson and the Bullets play. That's how long I've been a fan. So my passion goes from those years through being a fan to being a sportscaster to being a play-by-play guy. And you know, listen, that passion's going to come through. And when the team is playing horribly, I got to call that out. You know, that's got to be the thing. So, but you have to be careful. You can't be derogatory. You know, the word you hear us use most of the time when the team is not playing well is challenging. Is challenged. They're really challenged tonight. You don't hear us say, you know, they're horrible or they suck. I got censured once for saying the Wizards were embarrassed in Charlotte in my first year when they were down by 30 points in the first quarter. And I heard about it the next day. Don't say embarrassing. And so it's that kind of thing. You kind of walk a fine line. But I like to think I was always passionate about it, whether they were playing well or they weren't playing well.
Steve, the industry's changing in a lot of ways, right? And the team element with the broadcast is part of it. But another way that it's changing, and I want to get into this with you here if you don't mind. It wouldn't be respectful. I'm not going to get into the specifics of any negotiation that would have happened. But I was talking earlier with Scott Allen, who reported on this last night. And there's going to be a time, probably the next year or two, where I'll lose this gig and they're just going to hire someone for a lot less money, who's a lot less experienced, because that's how everyone's trending. And you look at like local TV, which you were once in, and you had all these icons that were making $500,000 to be Ron Burgundy. And now it's a bunch of people that, you know, make one fifth of that, you know, out of school or out of another market that aren't as recognizable. What do you say to someone who says Buck Ants for 22 years was a legend, was an icon, but maybe they just want to go younger, cheaper, and like that's what all businesses are doing? What's your reaction to that?
I wouldn't disagree with that. Clearly, someone that runs a team or owns a team or owns a network can have the right to do that. If that's the direction they want to take, absolutely. I mean, listen, you can't sue somebody for saying they want to make a change, and that's their right to do that. But then you go beyond that as a journalist or just someone with curiosity, and you ask yourself, well, then why? As I described to the folks at my company when we had this conversation, and they've been pretty much above board all the time with me, other than stringing me along for 5 months. You know, I said to them, listen, man, there's 29 other guys in the league who do what I do. And they're all really, really good at it. They're skilled broadcast professional play-by-play guys. And very few guys are tampered with. Nobody's going up to, you know, Mike Breen in New York or Ryan Eagle in Brooklyn or Mike Gorman in Boston or Mark Zumoff in Philadelphia and saying, hey, you know, you guys been around 25, 30, 35 years. I think maybe it's time we take a look at something else. With play-by-play, and you have a skilled play-by-play guy, and that guy's been around and made an impact in your market for a lot of years, very rarely do they get tampered with. Now, look, that doesn't mean changes can't be made, and there have been changes made. But I will say this, in the 22 years I've been doing the Wizards, I've only seen two guys basically replaced. One was in Charlotte and one was in Portland. And everybody else is still working. I mean, Ralph Lawler just retired, and this guy's 84 years old. So when you get to that job as a skilled play-by-play guy, very rarely does that happen. Now, does that mean that they can't come along and say, hey, look, we want to make a change, we want to be younger? They're not going to say they want to be younger, but they certainly have the right to do that. So that's how I would react to that, Grant.
You know, Stephen, today's social media aspect, we find out a lot more. We get a lot more response from our audience. To see the outpouring of support that there's been there for you and Phil over the last couple of years based on both of your situations now, what has that meant to you to know that the connection you thought you felt with your audience has turned out to be every bit as true as you thought it might be?
Say that again, Pete. I'm sorry I was interrupted by someone. Please
just
say that again.
The social media reaction and what you've gotten as an outpouring from your audience.
Yeah, listen, it's been overwhelming to me. And look, I'm not naive enough to think that there aren't some people that don't like me as a broadcaster, like you guys were talking about before. You know, not everybody's going to love what you do. But for the most part, from what I've seen in the hundreds of tweets that I've watched and looked at, people have been, I mean, just so supportive and caring and angry and whatever. And I got to tell you, man, I hope if any of those folks are listening now that they understand how I feel about that, because I've seen every one of them and I appreciate the love and the support. And it means the world to me. It doesn't change a whole lot, but it means the world to see how people think about that. And listen, I grew up the same way, you know, watching Jim Carvelis and Tony Roberts do Bullets games. And I mean, you grow up with a certain person, you become very comfortable with that person, and you want to see them and hear them all the time. And so to see the outpouring of support from people has just been unbelievable, man. And I can't thank people enough. I hope they know that. I wish I could respond to every single tweet. So maybe in some fashion I'm doing that now. And I just want to thank the people that have done that. They've just been unbelievable. But it's just it's tough, man. I've been a Bullets fan since I was 12 and loved what I did. I was blessed to do that job. That was one of the great jobs in D.C. or any local market, to work at that level with the best athletes in the world and be privileged to be on the inside, to see things that nobody else saw, whether it was with Michael Jordan or Gilbert Arenas or John Wall or whoever it happened to be. And I was privy to that. And not only that, but to work with a guy like Phil Chenier for 20 years, they don't get any better than him. So, you know, my thanks to Abe Poland and Susan O'Malley for the opportunity, and to Jody Shapiro at HTS when I first came on board. And it was just, you know, I was blessed, man. I was really blessed to have that job.
Couple of moments left with Steve Buckhantz. Will you be able to watch? Will you still be a fan?
Will I be a fan? I'll always be a Bullets fan, just like I'll always be a Redskins fan. And it's hard to kind of take that away once you have that in you. Will I watch? I'm not sure.
What do you think you'll miss most about calling the games?
The camaraderie of the guys. And I'm not just talking about the on-air guys. I'm talking about, you know, the guys in the Wizards, you know, the equipment guys, Jerry Walter and Rob Suller, and the guys we traveled with, and, you know, Jackie Miles and, you know, Zach Bolno, our former PR guy, and Scott Hall, and all the PR people now, and Katia Kahleman, and all, you know, the folks in the front office and the folks and the security people at the game. I mean, you know these people on a first name basis. Our stage manager, Lori Green. I mean, I'm there are people I'm not mentioning, and I don't mean to do it on purpose, but there's hundreds. And that's, to me, I'll miss that more than anything. And the games were great, and I love calling the games, but you meet so many beautiful and wonderful people that you get to know on a first-name basis. Like I said, I'm talking about security people and people on the press row, and our buddy Marty Aronoff and all of these people. I'll just miss the day-to-day interaction with them. And calling the games were great, and I loved it, but that's what I'll miss most.
Steve, how much do you want to keep working?
Great question, Pete. Is your job available anytime soon? I go back to doing Navy football in a minute, man. No, truthfully, that was one of the great things I ever did, and I know you feel the same way. There's nothing like, first of all, Navy's different. You know, all the military schools are different than regular colleges, and all the kids are wonderful, you know, rocket scientists and whatever. But there's nothing like doing an Army Navy game. That is the most emotional thing you can do, and it was fabulous. So, you know, what I go back to thinking about college, you know, football or basketball, radio, maybe. Absolutely, yeah, I would think about doing that.
Well, Steve, we will be tracking it. We'll be monitoring it closely. And it's cool for me, I guess, in a weird way today, to have the opportunity that I'm sure so many wish that they had. Is there's a generation of Wizards fans. There was a time where I was watching games and the team was terrible, and you and Phil were the reason I tuned in, and you made me the fan of this team that I was, and you're a big reason why I was writing Mitch Richmond on my notebook paper on my fourth grade assignments. Appreciate everything. Thank you for the memories. This is a dagger, and we appreciate you coming on.
Grant, Pete, thanks for having me, and hopefully we'll see you down the road in the near future.
Absolutely. Steve Buckantz, the great longtime Wizards broadcaster, confirming here that his 22-year run is over. And none of my assessments on Steve, I'll just say really quickly, have anything to do with Justin Kutcher, who I hope the best for, and I hope he has a great lengthy run in his own right. I think he's a terrific young broadcaster. But it's a tough day. If you're a Wizards fan, they've decided to go in a different direction. Grant and Danny with Pete hanging out. Poor Danny on vacation on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Steve, we know in part of this too, when it's the network and team has some say in this. Have you heard from anybody from Monumental Sports?
Team has all say in this. Let's not be mistaken about that. There was a reason that John Miller was fired from the Orioles, the best announcer in all of baseball. He wasn't enough of a homer, and he was let go. Mel Proctor in the same situation.
If you missed our interview with Steve Buckantz moments ago right here on 106.7 The Fan, you will want to podcast it. TheFanDC.com, GrantandDanny.com/audio is where you will be able to find that interview as of 2 o'clock. That's when Chad Dukes versus the world takes over right here on The Fan. We're going to get into 20 Redskins questions in 20 days. Also got to get you set for the Nats and the Orioles at Camden Yards coming up before we get out of here in our final 25 minutes. By the way, I was at Camden Yards for the first time all season last night. Matter of fact, it was the first time in a couple years that I've been there. That ballpark does not age.
That's fantastic. It's a great place to watch a ball game.
Just immaculate and gorgeous. It doesn't age. It was so hot there. And I'll say this, there's a lot made about, all the people in Baltimore hate all the Nats fans, and Nats fans are mean to Orioles fans. It was a super fun environment. Everyone just kind of doing shtick and hanging out, and, you know, boyfriends and girlfriends wearing the different gear. I mean, you would have no idea whatsoever that supposedly the fan bases hate each other. It was the most fun I've had at a game in a long, long time. People around us kind of in one at bat cheering for the same people. So it'll be like Victor Robles is hitting against, Miguel Castro, and it'll be like, come on, Castro, throw a strike. Like, good pitch. Come on, Robles, get a hit. Like, people are cheering for both teams. It was a weird experience.
If it was like a couple years ago, like, say, the year that the Orioles obviously went to the ALCS against the Royals, and both teams were really good, mm-hmm. you'd have had, A, more people there, and B, you'd have probably had a more of a spitfire environment going back and forth between the two sides. But the one thing you could tell, Orioles fans resigned to the fact they know that this is a throwaway year and that this team is in total rebuild mode. So there's not as much venom in a situation like that. Had the game stayed close, you know, the Orioles fans certainly would have gotten into the game as it went along. But you know,
a lot of the people around me, what I'm saying is, like both teams now. I mean, they've just gotten to a point where that's what happens. Like, in the section I'm sitting in, people were legitimately cheering in the same at-bat for the hitter and the pitcher at different times.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
You had plenty of that. It was
Jimmy
fun.
Yacobonis. Oh, there goes Brian Dozier. Okay. All right. Yay.
You have the Matt Adams home run, and a guy gets up, and he's on his feet. And then as soon as Hanser Alberto hits his, he's on his feet again. It's just this surreal experience. It's unlike anything I've
you know what I would have said
been at
if he's wearing an Orioles shirt doing that. You know what I would have said? I said, "Sir, what are you doing? What are we doing here, Harry?" As you like to say, "What are we doing?
What are we doing here, Harry?" And he'd
well,
say,
every Matt Adams home run puts the Orioles closer to the number one draft pick, so that's probably
true.
Why he was cheering.
He'd say, "Oh, you know how these two teams don't actually have anything to do with one another other than tonight." Probably how he would have responded.
On the same network.
One's in the American League, one's in the National League. All right, 20 questions in 20 days, counting you down to the start of the Redskins preseason. The question today, and we can set up your calls on this right now, would love to get some participation. So we'll open up the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines. We're doing this in the 1 o'clock hour each day leading up to the preseason opener. And the number is 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Is Josh Norman still a number one cornerback? Can Josh Norman still be counted upon to shut down a number one wide receiver? He is still paid not just like a number one cornerback, but like one of the best cornerbacks in all of football. Because realize, there's 32 number one cornerbacks. Just means you're the best guy on your roster. What I'm talking about is he still a shutdown guy? Was he ever? Maybe you could have that conversation too. But is he a shackles, number one wideout, taken out of the game? I'm taking up either my half the field or my assignment is going to be locked down. Don't worry about this guy, Odell Beckham Jr., you know, Alshon Jeffrey. For the Cowboys now, it's Amari Cooper. Doesn't matter who it is. He's not a factor because I'm here today. So he's going to get four catches for 37 yards and be held out of the end zone. Is Josh Norman someone you can count on to be a number one cornerback who can shut down a standout wide receiver this year, yes or no? He's paid like it. The Redskins have certainly made it seem like they still think that he can provide that level of play. Otherwise, they might have moved on from him. He is scheduled to make as a base salary $11 million. His cap hit this year is $14.5 million. That's the question, 800-636-1067. Pete, can you get number one corner production from Josh Norman this year?
You're going to get opportunities for it. The question is, can he take advantage of it? Because teams will throw at him. And if they throw at you, you have an opportunity to intercept passes, deflect passes, and obviously give yourself statistics that make you look like a number one corner. Sometimes you're paid, overpaid. We see players overpaid all the time. There's no question Josh was overcompensated, but you had to do that to get the player to come here at that point. I look at it this way. He's going to have the opportunity to be a number one corner, Grant, and put those numbers up because teams are going to throw at him. Now, teams throw at you because they think they can beat you. And if they throw at you, they don't necessarily think you are a number one corner. So it's up to him to turn the tables on those teams and put up number one-like numbers by passes defended and interceptions this coming season. Because, Grant, every team with a legitimate passing game is going to throw at him and do it somewhat confidently, quite frankly.
Yeah, he struggles with some of the undersized, fast, athletic, quick-twitch wideouts like T.Y. Hilton. You know, that ilk,
mm-hmm.
What Tavon Austin was supposed to have been, never became. Not even slot receivers, he's not inside, but that kind of build on the outside. A Travis Benjamin type. But he also has struggled more recently with other types of wide receivers as well, just kind of the bigger, faster guys that you would have thought he could get his hands on and beat up physically a little bit when he first got here. I was super impressed by him in his first season. I thought he was tremendous. Anybody who knocked him after 2016, I thought it was unfair. I mean, he had a 16-game season where he had a career high in tackles, was super willing as a run stuffer, defended a career high 19 passes, had three interceptions. He essentially did everything he'd done previously in Carolina, minus a couple touchdowns, on a worse defense with less help. Because in Carolina, the secondary around him was better in the defensive line. At that point, the Redskins in 2016 didn't have Allen, Payne, Ioannidis to what they are now. He was kind of a one-man wrecking crew in a lot of ways. I loved that season. Took a big step back in 2017 as their personnel got a little bit better. And then last year, he wasn't really any better. He had three picks last year, which was good to see. He made more plays, six takeaways instead of two. But still, defended nine passes. I mean, lowest total the last 2 years since 2014. I guess my answer is no. He's not a number one corner at this point. He's not going to take a wide receiver out of a game. He's super talented, and I still think he's probably better than Redskins fans think because they're down on him. But can he shut down Amari Cooper? Can he shut down the seventh, the eighth, the ninth best wide receiver in the league? No, and I think that's why they don't ask him to travel with those wide receivers. Paul and Bowie, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, GP? So here's my take on this whole situation. I think that Josh Norman has an extreme amount of raw talent. I think he still can be one of those top cornerbacks, one of those shutdown guys. The problem is, does he think that? Can he wave through all the distractions and get back to football? Like, he just has to, with all the stuff we see in the social media, and I know we won't know his life or anything like that, but he needs to just, if he were just locked down and focus on football, he could still take a wide receiver one of the top 10 wide receivers out of the game. Whether or not he'll do that, I have no idea. I would say no if history repeats itself.
Thanks, Paul. Do you think, Pete, that he does too many non-football things? I've never been a fan of coming down on players in that regard. Like, I thought him jumping over the bull and running with the Bulls in the middle of his NFL career was a preposterously ridiculous idea. And if I was a coach on the staff, I would have called him and said, what in the bleep are you thinking? That said, I don't really have a problem when you're doing TV and you're doing deals and you got this and that going on. There's enough time in the day, particularly in the offseason, to get all that done. I think he probably works his butt off. The one thing I have an issue with is when he did that Fox NFL thing, the Redskins apparently didn't know about it. Like, you're doing Dancing with the Stars in the offseason. I don't care about that as long as you're at OTAs. Now, he didn't happen to go to those. I would have liked for him to show up at those mini camps. He decided he wasn't going to. So that annoyed me a little bit. But being on Dancing with the Stars, not a problem. Don't jump over bulls. That's
a bit extreme.
Too far.
But, you know, look, the guy's
constantly...
Do you think
he works as much as he needs to? I think he probably does.
Yeah, and the guy's constantly active in his community down there. Obviously went to Coastal Carolina, giving back to his community down there. And I also saw him earlier this year at the Congressional Baseball game for charity. So the guy's out there doing a lot of positive things. Let's not just sit there and, poke at him for doing something that's very dangerous and would seem negative. But the guy's out there doing a lot of other terrific things in the community. So this has nothing to do with Josh Norman being a bad guy. I think, look, teams are going to give him an opportunity to be a number one corner. They're going to throw his direction. He's going to have opportunity to put up number one stats and affect the game. Let's see if he can do it. Let's see if he can do more things that affect the game positively than giving up big plays, which are negatives for the Redskins this coming season. And I think having a little bit more safety help, a little bit more of a pro back there, an experienced pro, I think that goes a long way toward helping him. If you have a healthy Quentin Dunbar over on the other side, I think that goes toward helping Josh Norman as well in that respect. And it will be interesting to see, with a new voice back there, to see how much this group as a back four blends together, comes together. And look, Grant, you know as well as I do, it has to do with the pass rush. A great pass rush can make any secondary look even better and present even more opportunities for plays for those guys. I think they're going to be there for him to have a chance to affect the game in a big-time way.
He's Pete Medhurst. I'm Grant Paulson. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Danny on vacay this week. 20 Redskins questions in 20 days today. Can Josh Norman still be a number one cornerback this season for Washington and shut a number one wideout down for four straight quarters? Take more of your calls next on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Today is Grant and Pete. 20 questions, 20 days. Today we talk Josh Norman in the cornerback position of the Redskins. If you missed any part of our show, you can go to thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio, including a tremendous interview with a very candid and an emotional Steve Buckhantz. You could tell there was pain in his voice as he talked with us not long, a few hours after finding out late last night that he would not be the voice of the Wizards for a 23rd season this coming year. So if you missed that, you're going to want to grab the podcast at thefandc.com. grantanddanny.com/audio. Started the show talking about Anthony Rendon needing an extension after a couple of runs scoring hits off the fence yesterday for the Nationals. Anthony Rendon will be in the lineup as the Nats play the O's tonight. Big start for Eric Fetty, Pete, for this reason. Yesterday, Austin Voth got another shot to try to win the fifth starter job. He had one good outing, pretty much pitching off of his fastball. I kind of called it a smoke and mirror start against the Braves, where he went six innings with a couple of runs. Don't know how sustainable the way that he threw that day is, because he didn't have other secondary stuff working. But it worked against the Braves. Then he pitched against the Tigers team. That's about as soft a landing spot as you can get. Didn't get out of the fifth inning. Then he pitched against the Royals, another really soft landing spot. Didn't get out of the fifth inning. So my thinking was, okay, we've kind of seen the end of Austin Voth as a fifth starter. Well, with these injuries and the fact that now they need another starter and nobody else is healthier and ready to take the ball, he got another crack against the Orioles, the worst team in all of baseball, and last night loaded the bases with a hit batsman, a walk, and another hit batsman, and then eventually got out of the jam to go six innings, one run. So he acquitted himself well. Fetty gets the start tonight. I'd have to imagine they're going to pick between these two guys based on these two auditions to be their fifth starter moving forward, and that guy's going to get starts against the Rockies, one of the best lineups in the league, and the Dodgers, the best team in the NL, in the next week and a half. So this is a really nice chance for Fetty if he can pitch a brilliant game against the Orioles to win a job.
Good news is that it's going to be in this ballpark here, not in that ballpark there, at least in the short term, which I think is important. Look, we've seen glimpses from both guys that there's something there, but neither guy has been a model of consistency. I think, you know, in terms of one guy is a top pick, another guy's a fifth round pick. I think Fetty overall may have the best pitching arsenal to work with. He's got a little more in the toolbox, but I like the moxie and the makeup of what Voth showed us, because that first inning could have been a disaster last night. And let's not underrate what Paul Menhart has meant to this team and this pitching staff since him taking over as the pitching coach. I don't know what he said to Austin Voth in that first inning, but it certainly made a difference. Voth's outing changed completely different after the visit there. And look, here, guys, here's a live audition. Go pass it. He who passes it the best may get a chance to stay here if we can't make a deal that makes sense for us to gain a fifth starter from the outside.
Right, and if you're going to start working on a trade to get a fifth starter,
maybe one of these guys is in that trade.
Well, and that's key. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. Michael Taylor, Wilmer Defoe, Joe Ross, Eric Fetty. I don't know what kind of value, if any, a lot of those guys have, specifically Austin Voth. I mean, you're not getting much back that's going to help you at the big league level.
Ross still has enough, having come back from Tommy John, to at least intrigue some clubs that,
sure,
as time, he may need a little more time here. Because they certainly disrupted what he was by trying to use him in the bullpen and everything. They put him in a different role. Puts the player at a little bit of a disadvantage.
He's gone back and forth rotation of bullpen. He's had health issues.
Yeah.
He hasn't had the ability to just pitch every fifth day. But I don't know if he's going to get that here either, to be honest with you.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Somebody might want to take a chance on him.
If I'm a second division team, probably not a team a few years away from competing like Baltimore. But if I'm a team that is like bad without being one of the worst in all of baseball. But, you know, I'm a couple of years away. I'm thinking clubs like the Chicago White Sox, the San Diego Padres.
San Francisco.
The Colorado Rockies. Yeah, San Francisco, Pittsburgh. Those types of teams, I would have a lot of interest in a guy like a Joe Ross, even a Michael Taylor, maybe even an Eric Fetty, you know, that have first round attached next to their name. But my point is, if they make a trade and they give up one or two of those guys, if you're going to trade for a starter, you should do it now. Because, again, the fifth starter, you're going to need your fifth starter with the way that everything's lined up after the Max deal now, even if Max is healthy, to pitch against the Rockies and the Dodgers. Those are now scheduled losses.
That makes sense, though. I mean, the more starts you have a better pitcher for, you increase your chances of winning.
I mean,
you get an established guy that can go in that fifth starter spot. I mean, your percentages go up instead of having Voth or Fetty pitch against those teams as it would be having,
sure,
an established starter.
But who you're playing is not as important. In other words, who you're playing might be more important than the number of starts. In other words, like you could have said by the logic of just, oh, the more starts, the better. Well, they should have made that trade then 2 weeks ago. But you had, you know, a stretch with the All-Star break where you don't need that guy a couple times on the front and the back. You have a stretch where he's pitching against. Look at who Voth's pitched against. The Orioles, the Royals, and the Tigers, maybe the three worst teams in the American League. Now the fifth starter lines up to face some of the best lineups in the National League. And so my point is, if I'm Mike Rizzo and I'm closing in on where I think by the end of, you know, July, I could probably get something done with fill-in-the-blank team for this fifth starter who's a veteran, we'll just push the gas pedal down and do it now to get those couple of starts with that starter against the team maybe you can now beat that you wouldn't have otherwise. Tonight's the night, though, 7:05 for the Nats in Baltimore against the Orioles. It's Dollar Hot Dog Night, by the way. I picked the wrong night to go there. I went and got my Brooks Robinson bobblehead, but maybe I should have eaten.
Are you allowed to eat hot dogs?
I'm not.
Yeah, see.
Maybe I picked the right night.
Did you do it without the bun?
Yeah, but hot dogs are still, like, terrible for you, I think, even without the bun. They're better than with a bun. I'm not going to pull a Joey Chestnut and eat, like, 72 of them. But
dip
one every
get a
few
cup of
innings.
Water, dip it in so you just go.
Exactly. Pete, it was fun as always, buddy.
See you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. We'll be back at it. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Great job by Brendan and Thom. Thanks for tracking down Steve Buck and Stadar. Wonderful job there. If you missed the interview with Buck, grab the podcast at G&D on TheFanDC.com. Chad Dukes versus the world is up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.